Hello church, how are you doing?
Hi,
it's good to see you all. Well, this morning I'm just going to start off with the word salt and then break into some historical background and then go forth with the word. The year is 60 AD. The place is Rome. It's a hive of activity. The ruler is Nero. A man that loved his position, and he coveted himself an image as an artist. Soldiers were plentiful, keeping Rome in order. Merchants were lined up, selling their wares. Idols everywhere, from Greek idols to Roman idols. And they were all displayed. There was parties going on. But there was also the religious. The religious were out there trying to promote what was good for them, and they thought what was good for people under hard ruling and under hard law. And then there were the Christians. The Christians were out there helping people, helping the poor, and proclaiming the good news of the gospel, what Jesus has done for them. But this upset the religious rulers, because this was against what some of their teaching was. So the religious leaders would wind up people and cause riots, but blame the believers. Question: do we see that today? Do we see there's still gods out there, there's still people believing in stuff, with partying going on? I think so, yes. But along the street was a little house. And in this house was a man called Paul. Now, Paul was a man that loved God. He had this road to Damascus experience. Along with Paul was another man. We'll come to him in a second. Paul was under house arrest in his own rented apartment. He'd been arrested because he was accused of causing riots and being rebellious. Paul, they blamed. Paul appealed to Nero. I'm a Roman citizen, so therefore, even though I'm arrested, I cannot be put in prison. And they didn't put him in prison. Like I said, house arrest. So he was in house arrest, and this was the time he started writing letters to different churches that he knew he'd planted, and different churches did to help them and encourage them. But also with him was another prisoner called Artaxerxes. This man was with him. Obviously, they were chained to the Roman guard, or they were chained to the house itself. They just were not allowed out. But people, friends, were allowed to come and see Paul. And they were allowed to encourage him, feed him, help him whatever was needed, and also send out messages. So to name a few of these friends, and this is written in Colossians, by the way, just giving you background. One of his friends was Tychicus, and Onesimus, and Mark, who was also a brother of Barnabas. And then there was a guy called Jesus. He was also called Justus. These guys, Paul said, comforted me. For 2 years, Paul was in this house. They comforted him. They were the ones that were doing everything for him. Then there was a guy that came along with a few others, called Epaphras. He writes about Epaphras and says to the church in Colossians, Epaphras, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured in Jesus Christ. How many of you would love prayer like that from people, that they wrestle in prayer for you? They're wrestling. We've just heard from Hugh there about the importance of prayer, even for the little things. Epaphras was some character. And then we had Luke, who was a doctor, and also Dimius. These were just friends of Paul's. The reason I'm saying this is because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all here to help one another in whatever need is needed. And if somebody is stuck, we help them. Nero, the ruler, just found Paul as a nuisance. That's all it was. Nothing more, nothing less. So therefore, he just had to wait for his trial, and then he was released. Paul, like I said, had written to Colossians. And when he was writing to Colossians, he wanted to encourage the Colossians about this incredible Jesus Christ, about the one that was God of all, the one that helped and saved, the one that delivering, the one that did everything. But I want to pick up in Colossians 4. So as you're looking up, if you will, Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. And as you're looking it up, Paul also wanted people to embrace Christian virtues. What are they? Their kindness, their compassion, and their forgiveness. And I'm so thankful for what Liz brought there. You know, that the way that Lord looks at us with compassion and kindness and goodness, that's the way he looks at us. And he wants us to live the same way with others. And that's what Paul was saying. So Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message or the word to be given out, so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Going back to devoting yourself some prayer, I'm going to give a little story. Many years ago, my mum was the pure example of prayer. She would go down and visit her friend Elaine, which was just down the road, and they would pray together. But not only that, my mum was very good at teaching me to pray, my brothers to pray, my sisters to pray, and she loved praying with her husband, her late husband David. She loved it. But my mum was a great example. And so one day when she was with Elaine praying, Elaine had said, there's a lady that's come to me and she's desperate for prayer. Her name is Morag. And she's got a daughter who did go to church but has fallen away. So much so that this daughter of Morag's doesn't want anything to do with the church, doesn't want anything to do with God, and actually wants to make her way to hell. That's some bold statements there. But this young lassie had made this decision. There's a lot more to the story than what I'm telling you, but I'm just going over it briefly because this is about prayer. So these ladies prayed, my mum, Elaine, and also the mother. But of course, the mother would be praying at the house, and she was just encouraged that other people were praying for her daughter. So her daughter was wayward, but through this prayer and through the amazing encounters that this young lady had, she came back to church, gave her heart to Jesus, and has been walking with him ever since. Not only that, this young lady started a prayer group in her flat called Praying for the Lost. Imagine that. So she started this. Elaine came along to the meeting, and after the prayer meeting realized who she was speaking to. I've been praying for you! And now you're set free. And now you're praying for the lost. All the joy, the excitement in that house. Yeah. This is what God can do. Mm-hmm. This young lady then got married and had a little girl. And she's in church today. She's married to me.
Aww. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is part of Alison's testimony, just a fraction of it. There's much more than that. It's incredible, Alison's testimony. But I just want to add something to it. My mum was part of praying for my future wife. She didn't know that. She was praying for my and putting things in place.
This is great.
I told you, Zach.
So just let me add this. Be careful, all of you, particularly young men. Your mum's prayers are mighty, they're powerful, because they go directly to God. And it may take years, may take months, but God's in the business of restoration. Moving on to what Paul asked for. Paul asked for prayer. Now, Paul asked for prayer. Now, I want you to put yourself in a situation. Paul was in house arrest. He's not free to go around and do what he wants to do, which is send a message out. So what's his prayer? His prayer is this. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray I may proclaim it clearly. Wow, what a prayer. I don't know about Paul, but I know if I was stuck in a house. Oh, now, when did that happen? Lockdown? We were in our houses for a while. Well, how many of you thought about praying that? Just a question.
No.
How many of you were like, I pray, Lord, that the message gets out? Those that are evangelists, preachers, teachers, mm-hmm. pray that the message gets out. How many of you were eagerly praying like that? I'm just putting it out there. It's in lockdown. And this is what Paul wanted. Paul wasn't there going, oh, these chains are so sore. Pray that the pain doesn't hurt me. Oh, I can't do things by myself. Pray that... He was not about himself. He was all about others. Mm-hmm. That was his heart. It lasted 2 years, but he was free then to go out and preach the gospel again. This is where Paul then turns it, whilst he's speaking to the Colossians, to how we should act. Be wise, it says in verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. People that are not sure about Jesus. People that are not sure about what they should do. Be wise how we speak to them and act towards them. Make most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So my prop. Here's something I prepared earlier. Now, where will I put this? About here. So this is not my cooking. This is my wife's cooking. My wife is a fantastic cook. Yep. So I've got some pasta in here, just so you can all see. Pasta in here. And it's been lovingly made. It's had a little bit of seasoning. And boy, did it taste good last night. We're told, let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Now, I can tell you, if you're on MasterChef and you've got all those critics and you're preparing the food for them, you better make sure you've seasoned it well. Mm-hmm. Because I've heard the critics. I don't fully engage in MasterChef, but Alison loves it. And you get the critics, they're behind the screen, well, behind another wall, and they've got the menu. Oh, that looks a really good menu. I hope they season it well, because it'll bring out the flavour. It'll enhance it. And they go for the list and they can't wait for it. In comes the cook, after sweating and hard work, in comes the cook, and just does the awesome things a cook do. Oh, it's so lovely to see you. Here's what I made. Enjoy! And they go and they flake out on the couch going, oh, that was hard work. And then the tasting comes. The critics, they dive in. And it's the expression on the face. Oh, the groans come out. Oh, they look left and right, depending on where they're sat at the table. Oh, now that's good. oh, I love the way they've seasoned that. Or I love what they've put in this. Oh, the taste. And they lick it clean. The taste is so exciting. It's good. And what's in their memory? I'm not going to forget that dish. And something has just burst into their innermost being. In fact, I'd like to take that to the restaurants I go to. Or I'd like to put that. Everything about them is encouraging about what they've eaten. Because it tastes good, because it's seasoned. Now, I've got some salt here. Sometimes in life, we as believers, and I make an apology for us as Christians when we go over the top or when we just forget the salt. We are seasoned people. It says in the Bible, in Matthew 5, 13, that you are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. That means you and I are like salt. We're to season all our conversations. Mm-hmm. We're to enhance the conversations, to make it good, to make it taste good, so people can see the taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we do this, or you need this scripture, or you need that scripture, or you need this, you need that in your life, or you need a bit more of this, oh, you need a bit more of that. And people are like, that's scaring me a bit. Are you sure that's Christianity? What's going on? Tell you what, taste it. And people are like, nah, you know what, no thanks. That's not really the what I want to taste. And sometimes we can leave bitter tastes or, unfortunately, people running away from the gospel rather than seeing that it's got grace in it. It's seasoned with salt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can miss out the seasoning and it's just bland. Mm. Our conversations are just bland. Which leads me on to the different salts that we have on earth. We have salts that grit the ground out there so that we don't slip. That's quite important for a Christian. If we're salted with peace in our shoes, because we're to shod our feet with peace, everywhere we walk, if we walk in peace, we're not going to slip. But if we've got anger or a few issues in us, we could find ourselves falling straight in our bum and going, that wasn't really what I meant to do. Sorry, Lord. Mm-hmm. Grit the path in front of you. The salt's good. We also have salt that preserves. You put salt on meat. You put salt on fish. You preserve it. Now, I speak to the fishermen about this. The salt preserves it long time. I think there's something so amazing about the salt that we give to people, which is the word of God, seasoned and enhanced, that people are hungry for it. They want it more. And it doesn't just stay in them for a little while. It stays in them long term. And people are wanting to hear more. And that's when the questions come out. That's why it says, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Because there's some tough questions out there that we as Christians are bombarded with. It's great when you're seasoned. It really enhances it and it helps with answering questions. There's also salt that is used in wounds. So if somebody cuts themselves, in the olden days, they didn't have the advanced aspect of salt that we do now. But in the olden days, they got the salt, rubbed it into the wound and ah! But the thing is, it purified you. It left you clean and pure. In your hand, in your cuts, or wherever it was, it just left you pure. Mm-hmm. These days, you've got Aeroclean's or saline, and you can spray it in. Now, I've got a wound in my leg here. I had an abscess years and years ago. Alison will remember this, and they had to cut it out. Aww. That was a huge wound, but I was given this huge can of Aeroclean's. I used to spray it on it, and it would clean it out so there'd be no infection. So salt is good at getting rid of infection. Do you know what else salt is good for? Manure. Sorry if I'm just putting it out there, but manure. If you put salt to manure, the manure breaks down so the excrement is got rid of, and all the goodness that's in manure is then used on vegetables for things to grow. And not unless somebody can prove me, well, have I got that right?
I don't know how you know that.
just reading. So all these things are good. So this then points to this situation. If we're salted by the Lord, it would make sense to me that any rubbish that you've got in your life, guess what? The Lord will just get rid of it because of what he did on the cross when he died for you. He just gets rid of it. Amen. You do not need to walk round thinking, I've done wrong again. Oh, I'm bad, bad Christian. No, you've been completely set free from this. You need to look to God because he's your saviour. And you walk around, and when you speak to people, they will see that you're lit up whenever you talk about Jesus. You're lit up when you talk about God. And the love that is in you is poured out on them. Now let's look at some scripture. Just to back up other aspects of salt and what God did. So Leviticus 2:13 says, season all your grain offerings with salt. Yes. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings, and salt to all your offerings. Don't leave it out. Can I just say this? I think it's pretty obvious that when we eat food, back to that nutcracker again, don't leave the seasoning out. Don't make it bland. Even God enjoyed the food when it had salt in it. So the grain offering was brought with flour, etc. And it was set before the Lord. And the priest would come and set it alight. Now, if he set it alight without the salt, that was not a good thing. It wasn't good for the Lord. The Lord wanted it so that the salt would marinate, would enhance the flavour of the grain to make it good. 2 Chronicles 13. I'll not read it. Verse 5, this is, you find it in. I'll just say what I've written. The Lord made a salt covenant with David about his kinship over Israel. That basically means the covenant God's made, it lasts a long time. Like the salt preserves. This is a covenant of preserving. And this is what God did when he said, make a covenant of salt with him. Then you've also got 2 Kings 2. This is where Elisha appears. And Elisha is in a land that's, the earth is fine. That, you know, around them, it's fine. But the spring water, it's not fine. The spring water is causing people, when they drink it, to be full of diseases and also have miscarriages. And the Lord spoke to Elisha, and Elisha asked for a bowl of salt, poured the salt into the water, all the water is purified, and nobody had disease again, and nobody had miscarriages again. That's quite something. That's amazing, and God did that. Just with what Elisha was told to do. Then we have Matthew 5, which I've already spoken about. You are the salt of the earth. Meaning, you bring, when you speak to people, you bring preservatives into people's lives. You bring purity. You bring healing for your words. You restore. And everything else I've mentioned about salt. Mark 9, verse 49 to 50. Says this, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, people, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. You are blessed. You are the salt of the earth. You are to purify people. You're to set them free. You're to bring the good news of the gospel. And every aspect of your walk always points to Jesus. Can I say you're a salted lot? A mixed bag of salt.
Ready salted.
Ready salted. Stole it. Ready salted.
That's good.
Now Jesus, in his ministry, and started at the age of 13, there's a question, why did he wait till he was 30? He could have come at any moment when he saw the woman that maybe he saw in the synagogue because he was growing up. He maybe saw the woman that was bound over and needed a healing, and she had that for years. He maybe saw the man that was at the pool of Siloam that needed to be healed, and he was bound by an illness, well, bound and by whatever was happening in his life with this restrictions. He could have come and healed them at any moment, but he waited till he was 30. The patience of God, when all the religious leaders were going around making it hard and difficult for people, binding them in law, Jesus could have come earlier on and just really spoke to them and delivered them, but he waited. And even when he was asked to do it by his mum, "My time has not yet come, woman." Do you know that Jesus loved looking after his mother? He also had his brothers. He also had a lot going on. He was enjoying himself being the man. And I can guarantee he probably didn't want to leave, but he knew his time was coming. And he knew he had to start this mission. And boy, when he started it, what an entrance. He had to go into the wilderness, be tempted by the devil, and then he goes to choose his disciples. This is where the encouraging bit comes in. Jesus goes and chooses Peter, a fisherman. Why not Cornelius? A man that was religious, all set up, knew scripture really well, knew everything he was talking about. Why not choose somebody that really knows the Bible well and really knows God well? Why not Cornelius? Why not others like that? No, he chose a fisherman. A fist-fighting, hardened, money-strapped, and also trying to find money, breaking the law, doing different things, and he finds him. What does Jesus do? Does Jesus stand at the shoreside and say, "Oi, you sinner, if you carry on this way, you're just going to go to hell"? Does he?
No.
No, I'm asking you, Trinity, does he? No, we read in scripture that Jesus comes and just says, "I know you're exhausted, but cast your nets over to the other side." Oh, what is this clown talking about? You know, Peter's probably going, "Do you not know we've been fishing all night?" And I'm just, and because Peter obviously was foul-mouthed. He was all these things. And Jesus knew he was the right character for him to help. Why? Now, Ian and I had a conversation about this with fishermen. Fishermen in their lives, as Ian will rightly point out, have disappointments after disappointment after disappointment. Who better to choose than a man that has disappointments all the time? Because then when they're given hope, they will hold on to it and they will do everything they can. But it wasn't just for that reason. He chose him because he was living in the real world. And he knew that this man could turn around as soon as hope came his way. So when the fish started coming up from the net, in the nets, and it paid for all of Peter's debt and some more, you can imagine how happy Peter's wife would have been. Oh, the debt's gone. Oh, the joy. It satisfied everything. Jesus sorted it all out, just like that. That's what Jesus does for people. So that you will see the kingdom of heaven at hand. So my encouragement for you today is, when you go out, have conversations with people, season it so that people know how loved you are by Jesus and that they are loved too. And when it comes to sin, they will, in their head, turn around and go, there is a better way. And they will turn and focus on what you're focusing on, which is Jesus. Just want to encourage you and point you in the right direction. Get some salt. You are salted, people. Bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as we have conversations with people, that they will just see you and nothing else. They will see the love of you and nothing else. And Lord, forgive us when we've tried to add our own seasoning into what's already been seasoned. Lord, forgive us when we've tried to put the pressure on. But when it's done in love, Lord, it breaks people free. I believe, Lord, too, as Paul, Father, had hit this point whilst he was in chains, he wanted people to not be in chains. He wanted them free to preach the word and not in his situation. But he knew that these things may happen. But Lord, to keep our eyes focused on you, I pray, Father, that we'll keep our eyes focused on you and we will pray earnestly for one another. We will come alongside each other and help one another, and we will season everything with salt because it enhances our conversations and it just points to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Could I just